All right, I've got quite a bit of 49ers news and also some analysis regarding Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, and the offense the day ahead of their matchup in Seattle. So here we go. Let's just take a quick look at the 49ers injury report, which is now official. Jordan Elliott, the defensive tackle, is out, and Charvarius Ward is officially listed as questionable. Some people are acting like the Ward news is a surprise. It shouldn't be. If you've been following along, Charvarius Ward has been on the injury report this week. I've been talking about it a lot. I asked Mooney yesterday in the locker room how his knee is feeling. His answer was, quote, good enough, end quote. So the 49ers are certainly talking as if Charvarius Ward is going to play in this football game. John Lynch was even on KMBR this morning saying that he thinks that Charvarius Ward has gotten up for this game. He'll be ready to battle against DK Metcalf and company. This has obviously been a landmark matchup for Charvarius Ward. Remember last season when Kyle Shanahan, before the game, overruled the Steve Wilks game plan and told Mooney he wants him to shadow DK Metcalf around the field, and Ward obviously did a good job. Ward even shared in the 49ers locker room yesterday that DK Metcalf, when Mooney Ward first joined the 49ers in 2022 and started facing the Seahawks, DK Metcalf would talk a lot of trash to him on the field, and he since silenced that. In two games against Seattle, at Seattle over the past two seasons, Charvarius Ward has allowed only five catches for about 48 yards to DK Metcalf. So he didn't talk as much anymore. That being said, Charvarius Ward is playing the worst football of his career this season. Right now, he's given up a passer rating of 99.5 into his coverage. He obviously hadn't been 100% right. He's been on and off the injury report. He's back on there with that knee bruise, and he's questionable for this game. The 49ers, this is one of the three spots I think the 49ers most need improvement at. It's from cornerback one. Lenore has been awesome. I don't think Isaac Yiadom has been as bad as people are paying him out to be, but Charvarius Ward, who has been an all-pro caliber player for the 49ers over the past two seasons, has not been playing up to that standard, and I think that the knee injury might have something to do with it. He suffered it during the last game against the Arizona Cardinals. San Francisco badly needs him to step up tomorrow because Seattle, as I talked about in my article up on the San Francisco Standard, Seattle is a pass-happy team. They have thrown the football more than anybody else in the National Football League. Now, they might be trying to change that tomorrow. The 49ers expect Kenneth Walker III, the good running back for the Seahawks, to get more run than he did against the Giants. He only had five carries for 19 yards against the Giants. So I think that's criminal. You can't let Kenneth Walker III sit idly on the sideline, but the game situation pushed Seattle into that. And Geno Smith currently has nine more pass attempts than anybody else in the NFL. He's got a lot of weapons too. It's not just the receiver DK Metcalf, who Charvarius Ward has matched up against in the past. You also have the second-year man, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You also have Tyler Lockett, who seems to have been around forever with the Seattle Seahawks. He was a younger player back when Doug Baldwin and those guys were still with the team. So the Tyler Lockett era goes back far into the past. Really good slot receiver. You're probably going to see some Diameter Lenore against Tyler Lockett in this game with Lenore moving inside in the nickel package. I mean, you've got a lot of passing weapons. They have a lot of receiving and passing yards, but as I mentioned yesterday, the efficiency has not been great because Geno Smith is not a great quarterback. The efficiency has been like number 11 in EPA, I think number 21 in adjusted net yards per attempt. So there obviously is hay to make for the 49ers defense in this game, especially against an offensive line that is ranked number 30 in pass block win rate and number 30 in run block win rate. The 49ers have own Seattle as of late for a reason. But for that ownership to continue, a really big piece of the puzzle has been Charvarius Ward, and he's officially questionable. And the play has been questionable so far from him this season as well. So we'll see how he answers the bell. John Lynch on KMBR this morning thought that Lynch was in big-time business mode for the 49ers when he was talking on KMBR. He was very serious, very stern about things. It's obviously where this team is at right now, entering this very important game up in Seattle, and he said that he thinks that Charvarius Ward is going to be able to register a good performance on Thursday night in Seattle. You see the picture and the article up on the screen for the San Francisco Standard. That's Talanoa Hufanga, who has officially been placed on injured reserve. So the 49ers have moved Braden Willis, the tight end, up to the 53-man roster. I can give you guys a look at the full San Francisco roster, including injury shades after this news. So here you go. You take a look at the tight end room, which is right here. Braden Willis moves up from the practice squad because the spot opens up with Talanoa Hufanga moving from the 53 down to injured reserve. Jake Moody, for the time being, is going to stay on the 53-man roster. Obviously won't be kicking with the high ankle sprain. It's going to be Matthew Wright, the new kicker tomorrow in Seattle. But with Hufanga out, it's Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown starting at the safety position. And that was a big gist of my article up on the San Francisco Standard, is that this is a pass-happy Seattle offense, or they have been pass-happy. And even if some of that changes in this game, they still have got a lot of weapons that the 49ers are going to have to cover. And it's going to be a big Malik Mustafa game at safety. 49ers have liked the early returns there, although they haven't been perfect. And it's going to be Jair Brown, who I still think needs to take a step up in coverage. They haven't had the best safety coverage this year. I showed you a bunch of metrics and videos last week and in articles up on the San Francisco Standard last week that showed some of those eroding pass coverage metrics from the 49ers safeties. So that's got to be tied together with better coverage also from Charvarius Ward on the back end for the 49ers. Anyway, this is the pre-Seattle update. And with that, you know, I promised we'd talk a lot about Christian McCaffrey, and we're going to go ahead and do that right now. I think that a lot of the discourse surrounding McCaffrey, who can be back as soon as the game against the Chiefs, by the way, not saying he's going to be back against the Chiefs, but it's starting to become more and more possible as this month progresses. Then it's just going to become an issue of management for the 49ers to make sure that inflammation doesn't return in the Achilles tendonitis. But so many people are not grasping McCaffrey's importance to the run game, which I find ironic because he's a running back, but perhaps that's a byproduct of how dominant Christian McCaffrey has been as a versatile piece for the 49ers. We know that he's been awesome when it comes to catching the ball out of the backfield and impacting the 49ers receiving game. And we talk about the gravitational pull that he exerts on defenses and how that's been missed in the red zone for San Francisco. All of that is true, but we can't bury the lead, which is that Christian McCaffrey in the 49ers run game has been absolutely an awesome impact. And I was responding to Emmanuel Acho here. He was saying, you know, I think he was looking at some tape of Christian McCaffrey, and he was looking, you know, watching some of the tape of Jordan Mason in the 49ers run game, and he felt that they were missing some opportunities. Well, they obviously are. This is the 49ers rank in rushing efficiency, and I don't think that people in general, because Jordan Mason has a lot of rushing yards, I don't think that people, though, are focused enough on this. In 2022, before the 49ers picked up McCaffrey, when Jeff Wilson Jr. was their top running back, they ranked number 23 in rushing efficiency. After they picked up McCaffrey in the trade with Carolina, they improved from number 23 to number 2. Last season, they had McCaffrey all season. They ranked number 1. This season, without McCaffrey, they're back down at number 20. So without Christian McCaffrey, 49ers over the past three seasons have been a rushing team that's ranked in the 20s in rushing efficiency. With Christian McCaffrey, they've been a top 2 rushing efficiency team. When we're talking about a Kyle Shanahan offense, rushing efficiency is everything. That is the basis for the play action that they run. That's the basis for the yak that they're trying to set up. And the 49ers rank dead last in the league in yards after the catch right now. Number 32, only 4.0 yards per completion in yards after the catch for the 49ers. Take a look at this. This to me is fascinating. This is the throw chart for Brock Purdy in 2024 versus what he looked like through the first 5 weeks of last season. First off, you'll notice there are no red dots on the right side. That was the first 5 weeks of last season over here. Red dots are interceptions. This side of the field, it's got a few red dots because Purdy has thrown four interceptions. He didn't throw a single interception until this week of last season. But there are big stylistic differences, and they all trace back to the 49ers' big-time drop in rushing efficiency. The biggest stylistic difference is look at how much more often Brock Purdy threw behind the line of scrimmage over the first five games last season. He's not throwing behind the line of scrimmage this year. You know, people that don't understand quarterback play are like, I want air yards. Well, sometimes it's the short throws behind the line of scrimmage that could be the most efficient because they also serve as a way to fortify your run game since they force defenses to play them in a similar way as outside zone runs. And that makes a defense more honest, and that can open up stuff further downfield. Well, two hard truths for the 49ers right now. With them not running the football nearly as efficiently, and with defenses shading the middle part of the field, because that's where Brock Purdy liked to throw last season, the 49ers have been unable to execute or even attempt a lot of the short game behind the line of scrimmage that they did last year, and they've had to widen out the offense. As you can see, this little cluster down the left seam where Brock Purdy was throwing a lot of completed passes early last year, they're not throwing there anymore. That cluster's moved further out. The offense has had to widen as the 49ers have operated here in 2024. So things are fundamentally different for what Brock Purdy has had to do without the rushing impact of Christian McCaffrey and without the receiving impact of Christian McCaffrey. And one of the staggering stats is that Brock Purdy is throwing into tight windows this year at about twice the rate that he did last season. So I know this is all complex stuff, and I know that it's hard to explain in one tweet, and I know that I've explained it over several articles in the San Francisco Standard, and we keep on adding more data to it now, and I hope that I illustrated well in some of these videos. But the 49ers offense is fundamentally different without Christian McCaffrey. They still rank number 5 in pass offense efficiency. That is Brock Purdy moving mountains to keep the 49ers in a good spot offensively right now. Overall, I do think that they're in a decent spot offensively. I think they're number 8, I think, EPA. But they're not in a good spot in the red zone where they rank number 30. So Purdy is moving mountains to keep this team on schedule and do what it can with the rushing efficiency not being what it is, and without the security blanket of Christian McCaffrey. But the ceiling for this offense without CMC, I think, is good. It's not great. And in the red zone, we're seeing a lot of those deficiencies rear their ugly heads. This is another good supporting graphic. Look at this. These are run and pass block composite rankings for the 49ers. So further to the right means that you're doing better run blocking. Further up means that you're doing better pass blocking. Typically, we've seen the 49ers as a better run blocking team than a pass blocking team. The pass blocking has actually been better than the run blocking this year. So that leads back to the lack of rushing efficiency. It's not just Jordan Mason. It's the 49ers aren't run blocking as well as they have in the past. The good news is that they're pass blocking better than they have maybe at any time in the Kyle Shanahan era. We'll have to see how this plays out, but ESPN's pass block win rate loves the 49ers. The other two composite grades, PFF and Sports Information Solutions, SIS, they have them at 72 and 70. ESPN has them at 96 pass blocking. The composite is good to rank 10th. For the 49ers. So the pass blocking is good, but again, they've got to get the run game going at a more efficient level. And people cannot be fooled by the fact that the run game has generated a lot of yards because it's the efficiency that has been lacking. It's been in the 20s with McCaffrey. It was top 2. It's not to say that Jordan Mason's doing a poor job, but Jordan Mason's a backup running back with certain limitations compared to what Christian McCaffrey, a totally elite running back, has been able to bring to the table. And this could lead to larger discussions about how the 49ers construct their roster. I think it helps color the fact and you know the trend of them liking to use valuable draft picks on running backs, because when you've had Christian McCaffrey at those in the lineup and you're performing at an elite level and you aren't without him, well, it makes sense that you need elite talent at the running back position to make this offense click the way that Shanahan has. It helps explain why they stick Deebo Samuel in the backfield when they really need to. They don't like going to a backup below Jordan Mason. It's because you need premier production in the backfield for this offense to work. The results speak for themselves. In general, the goal for the 49ers when they are facing a defense to get Brock Purdy going, you'd rather face a zone defense. But zone defenses in general are better against the run. So the 49ers right now, that they're not, if you're not running well enough, you're not going to be able to get a defense out of man coverage. And if they're in man coverage, your pass offense is not going to be as efficient. This is another cool chart. This is charting quarterback versus man coverage and quarterback EPA versus zone coverage on the y-axis. So the quarterback is more effective against zone, the higher up his logo is. He's more effective against man, the further to the right his logo is. You could see Purdy's right here in the middle. He's been good against zone. He's been average against man. So the 49ers want to get opposing quarterbacks out of man coverage. And that means making them pay for being in man coverage through the run game. But if your rushing efficiency isn't good enough to do that, it's going to be hard to get them out of man coverage. You need to get them into something that's built to stop the run, and that is zone coverage. So it all goes hand in hand together, and it all traces back to Christian McCaffrey's importance to this football team. While you guys are all here, I want you to sign up for the San Francisco Standards newsletter. This is a new option. We've actually put the link for this into the description, but you can go down here. You can type in sports updates. You could put in your email address. And so for me, it'd be dlombardi@sfstandard.com, where you could reach me at all times. And you could sign up for the sports updates every single time that I write an article. You're going to get it in your inbox at that point within 2 minutes if you click on sign up for sports updates. So a lot of people have been asking about this kind of functionality, and you now have it on the San Francisco Standard. This is the article from yesterday. The link is up at the Standard, but on the description, I've got the newsletter link. And then Tim and I have 5 fast predictions. He thinks that Deebo Samuel is going to have a big game tomorrow. I thought it was interesting today. John Lynch was on KMBR, and he said, you know, the hosts asked him if he's happy about Brandon Ayuk's statistically big game last week. And he said that he was happy about it, but John then said, I think there's a lot more in the tank, and I think Brandon would be the first one to tell you that. As I said, Lynch was very stern on KMBR this morning. It seemed that he was meaning a lot of business. So the 49ers feel the urgency of the moment. They're treating this as a must-win game. No, it technically is not a must-win game, but that is how the 49ers are preparing for this big matchup in Seattle. All right, I'm ready to answer some questions here. We've got a few minutes. Then I've got to hit the gym. I got to go in for a lift. Actually going to go down to SFO today to see my mom, who's passing through SFO. I don't fly out to Seattle until tomorrow, but it will be good to swing through there. And I got to get ready for this big game tomorrow. So we'll try to go live one more time today, at least, depending on, you know, what happens news-wise. But I'm ready to answer some questions here on this Wednesday afternoon. So let's go for it. This is an interesting thought. Can the 49ers use McCaffrey in the red zone only? Here's the thing. If he's healthy enough to play, he's going to be healthy enough to play. There's either inflammation or it's not. I guess what you're getting at is if the workload is really big over the course of the game, does that raise the chances of inflammation? You'd have to talk to a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be one. I do think that they will incrementally build McCaffrey's playtime workload once he does return. So maybe some of the early snaps do start in more important areas of the field, like the red zone. But that is just me speculating at this time. But he, I mean, he's so important in the red zone. I've gone through the graphics for you. You want Purdy passing against zone, not man coverage. You got to punish the man coverage, and the rushing efficiency just hasn't been good enough yet for the 49ers. There's so much complaining about the play calling for the 49ers. Guys, it's not the play calling. It's literally the efficiency that they're delivering. Case in point, they called a run when, if everybody wants more runs, that was a run that Jordan Mason fumbled on when the 49ers had a chance to seal the game at 23-21. So the efficiency of that run was terrible. The efficiency of their runs in general were bad against the Arizona Cardinals. They only had a 30% success rate on the ground. Arizona had a 52% success rate on the ground. It was a negative efficiency game rushing-wise, and that's not going to cut it the way that this 49ers offense is running. Brock Purdy is having to put on a Superman cape right now for the 49ers to perform offensively. And they are. I mean, they have a top five pass offense, but they want a great offense, not a good one. And the only way, it doesn't matter who'd be playing quarterback for the 49ers. It could be Mahomes. It could be prime Joe Montana, prime Brady. The only way that this is going to get to absolute great efficiency with the way that they have built this team is if they can get that rushing efficiency back up toward the top of the league. Can the 49ers have McCaffrey and Mason on the field at the same time? Sure. They had Jeff Wilson Jr. and McCaffrey on the field at the same time back against the Rams before they traded Jeff in 2022. After they had acquired McCaffrey, before they traded away Wilson, there was a little bit of an overlap there. And I do remember there were a few formations where both of those guys were on the field. It might take some creativity to bust through these problems in the red zone if you're the 49ers. Do I think that Kyle will use Mason in more screenplays or play action pass? Well, you've got to, again, screenplays and play action, that run has to be more successfully established. You've got to get defenses into formations that are a little bit more vulnerable to the screenplays. Like, to me, this right here is the most staggering chart that I've seen so far for Brock Purdy as far as throw distribution. They're not running those screens and those short passes. That's this year on the left. Last year, they're running a lot more stuff behind the line of scrimmage. They need to get defenses into a place where they could run this more effectively. And I think that's tied in with how well they could run the football, how efficiently they can run the football. That needs to get a little bit better. Now, I'm not saying it's been all bad with the run game. I mean, there just needs to be a delineation when we talk about rushing yardage and rushing efficiency. And Mason's done a lot of things well. I pointed out the 49ers are running right much better than they have in the past. They've made progress there, but they just aren't being as efficient in general through the run game. And so there are, you know, some structural pieces of that could lead you to be optimistic about the run game there. Sure. The ambidexterity of the run game is one of them. The ability to run to both sides, although I don't think they're running up the middle quite as well as they did in the past. But the big picture certainly hasn't been there yet. And obviously Christian McCaffrey is a big part of that, which is why I'm going to put this back up on the screen. Many are not grasping CMC's importance to the run game. Ironic because he's a running back, but I think that people think about McCaffrey as a receiver and the impact that he has there before they consider the impact that he does have on the run game, where the 49ers need to step up. And that's going to have to happen as a unit against Seattle. Luis thinks that Mason was not patient enough versus the Cardinals and was not following his blocks. There was a lack of execution in the passing game as well. Yeah, with some of those drops. It was definitely not a problem with the play calling. Play calling is just such an easy cop-out for people who are angry and emotional to say, they got to call plays better. It's not like Madden. It really isn't. Shanahan is one of the best in the game at play calling, and the numbers and the data and the film, they all support the same thing. You could look at it, and I've showed, you know, if people still aren't grasping it after all the graphics that I've shown you, I don't know what else to tell you, but play calling is that, you know, just yelling play calling over and over again. I don't want to call it fake smart because it doesn't even seem to be faking being smart. It's just lazy. It's lazy analysis. The 49ers do not have a play calling problem. They have a problem of execution. And you know what? They also have a problem of finishing games. And I think that's the bigger issue at hand here. They've built these leads. They've done a lot well. We can't sit here and say that the offense has been completely inept because it hasn't. It ranks as the number, I think, 8 offense in football by efficiency. So, and the pass offense is number 5. It's the rush offense that's been down at number 20. But it was about turnovers in the second half against the Cardinals. And then it was about the defense getting tired in triple-digit weather. So the 49ers have a finishing issue that they need to address, which they're working hard to address ahead of this Thursday night game against Seattle. Dan wants to know, how's Pearsall? I'm guessing that the 49ers will open his practice window next week, but that's just a guess. I'm not reporting that. They said that he was really close last week, and this week it wouldn't have made sense to open his practice window because it was a short week and they didn't have a full-speed practice. You know, Kyle Juszczyk had been more involved in the past game. I don't think he was targeted this past week, but I agree with you. When I had my breakdown of the 49ers pass game after 1 month, one of the things that I illustrated was that Kyle Juszczyk, and we could go to the San Francisco Standard for this. Why don't we open this up on the screen so you guys get a little tour of what we're working on. So this is the prediction article with me and Tim Kawakami. This is my article that just came out this morning. But then you can click here, see my author page, and we can go to the quarter season stat check. Actually, we got to go back because we got to go to the quarter season offense stat check. So I had the yards per route run at the receiver position. Here we go. Look at Juszczyk last year, 0.71 yards per route run. Through September, so this is dipped again, but through September it was 1.07 yards per route run. So they were obviously using Juszczyk more to begin the season as a receiver, and it was part of the effort to pick up slack for the loss of Christian McCaffrey. So I agree with this comment. Like it's been, and I think Kyle Shanahan does too. They were targeting Juszczyk more because McCaffrey's absence was something that created some slack that the 49ers needed to pick up. Congratulations to Aaron. He's going to the game tomorrow. It's going to be his first game of the Shanahan era. His last game was the season finale of the 2013 season. So are you saying the regular season finale, or was it the finale? Because that was up at Seattle. Were you at the NFC Championship game that year? I'm sure that was a bad memory for you if you were. That was the Richard Sherman tip game, tipped it to Malcolm Smith. I think the finale of the 2013 season and the regular season was at Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. I wasn't covering the team yet, but I was following them, and I think they won a close game. No, the finale of the 2013. Actually, the home finale was the final game at Candlestick against the Falcons. That was on December 26th. But they played a week after that, and I believe that was in Arizona. You can tell me in the comment section. Regular season. So you were in Arizona. Falcons was Monday Night Football. That was week 15, and then week 16, Falcons was week 16. Back then, there were only 17 weeks, not 18 weeks. Cardinals was week 18. The pick at the stick. When I go to Sam's Burgers in North Beach, they got the mural, right? It's not a mural. It's a panoramic photo of Navarro Bowman crossing the goal line on the Bowman pick. We got a cool little comment up here from Scott. Thank you, Scott. Really appreciate you. Just saw that. Helping me eat, man. I really appreciate it. Helping me eat. Thanks, man. Do I feel that Shanahan is changing the way that Brock plays this year with him in the pocket now? No, I think that the loss of rushing efficiency has fundamentally changed what the 49ers can call. And the lack of McCaffrey as a security blanket in the pass game has also done that. So I don't know if you were here just a few minutes ago. If you weren't, I could put it back up on the screen. But we've got this. This is this year. This was last year. Purdy hadn't even thrown a pick at this point yet last year. Last year, you could know two things were happening last year that aren't happening this year. The 49ers were thrown behind the line of scrimmage on these shorter screens and checkdowns much more. And they were throwing into the seam right near the hash marks much more. You see that cluster? Look at this year's. There are no throws to the seam where they were last year. All of those throws seem that they're further out. So they've had to widen the field because defenses are really trying to take away the middle. Now, it's harder to generate yards after the catch the further out you are toward the sideline because the sideline is acting like another defender. So the reason why the 49ers have consistently tried to attack the middle of the field is because it's the most likely area to generate yak. You don't have the sideline bugging you. Defenses are pushing the 49ers closer to that sideline because they're hogging the middle of the field. Now, the one way to beat that is obviously the hit on the sideline. We've seen Purdy do a lot of that this year. He's got the arm to do it. So you've got to continue to win near the sideline. You can also try to win deep, which the 49ers have done a few times this season. But what you want to truly, I think, do is deliver enough in the run game so that you have defenses manipulated enough so they have to bite. They have to start biting toward the run game. They have to start playing zone coverage that gets them on their toes against the run. That's the way to combat it. So that way you can hit them with the pass game in more vulnerable spots. So everything always traces back down toward the 49ers' efficiency in the run. Bo Adams should probably take my job. He's better at concisely summarizing things than me. If you want to affect defenses, you have to make them pay attention to Jordan Mason. That is correct. Kenny says, more Debo running the ball in the red zone. I think you might see that tomorrow. They thought it was necessary in week one against the Jets. Debo scored the touchdown for the 49ers, and I think they're going to think it's necessary. This is a big, big game tomorrow for San Francisco. I think they're going to find it necessary again. How do I feel about the 49ers playing multiple games coming off of a bye week or teams coming off of a bye week? Do you think the 49ers have played the easier part of the season already? Yeah, I think that they played some weaker teams for sure. But the reason that I'm not that focused on that is that the 49ers are talented enough and good enough to where I believe that the variable that determines whether they win or lose in essentially every game that they play is the 49ers' own play. They're good enough to where if they play their A game, they will win. They will beat the Chiefs. They will beat the Bills. They'll beat the Vikings. If the 49ers show up and are healthy enough and play their A game, they will win. There's probably not any other team in football that can actually say that against any opponent. I really do think that the 49ers have that kind of talent level. So the focus for the 49ers should be less on who they're playing and less on how the schedule gets harder and more on how the 49ers themselves play. So far, we have not seen the 49ers A game yet. I think that the closest they got was week one against the Jets. Might've been an A minus game for the 49ers. They're close, but not fully there, but they played good offense. They played good defense. They even played good special teams. We saw Jake Moody kick 6 field goals in that game. But ever since then, it hadn't been an A game because one phase of the game, at least one phase of the game, has crapped out, right? Week 2 against Minnesota. Special teams definitely crapped out. So did the defense. They weren't stopping anybody. Week three against the Rams. Well, that was obviously a collapse. We hadn't seen the 49ers defense play that poorly in quite some time. And the special teams also wasn't ready for that football game. They gave up the fake punt, and they also gave up a big punt return to the Rams. Moving to the Patriots game, special teams still seem to be failing the 49ers. So it still wasn't the A game, but it was enough to beat New England. Then moving to the most recent game against the Cardinals, well, quite obviously going scoreless through the second half, that's the offense not bringing its A game. So the 49ers just need to focus on bringing their A game. I think they're capable of delivering an extremely efficient performance. I think they're talented enough. Even without Christian McCaffrey, I think they're good enough to be winning these games. Which I said, they don't have to rush Christian McCaffrey back because they should have beaten the Rams. They should have beaten the Cardinals without him. It certainly reduced their margin, and then they ended up blowing that margin. But you could see the vision for the 49ers. It's all about finding a way to put their A game on the field in all three phases. And then not really worrying about who they're playing, because if they worry about themselves, they're good enough to win these games regardless of who's on the other side. They just have to bring that A game. Are we doing predictions today or tomorrow? Well, if you want to see predictions right now, I'm not sure to answer your question, but if you want to see predictions right now, you can go to the San Francisco Standard. They're up here. Five fast predictions from me and Tim. I'll scroll down a little bit, not all the way to the bottom, so you can't see the prediction. But you can go there, and if you want them to be dropped into your email, then you can go here, sfstandard.com/newsletters, check sports, and then sign up for it. Look, I'm going to sign up for it right now. D. Lombardi. I don't care if you guys have my email because you already have it available on Twitter. DLombardi@sfstandard.com. Okay. So I'm going to hit sign up. And it says, look, thanks for signing up. Awesome. I'll receive an email shortly confirming my selection. I just got the email. It says, welcome. We are the Bay Area's fastest growing source of news because we have only one priority. You, our readers. Lots of new companies say that, but we actually mean it. So there you, that's the Standard just emailed me. My employer emailed me after I signed up. And you could obviously also follow us all on social media. Anyway, to answer your question, prediction is coming either later today or tomorrow. I fly out in the morning to Seattle, but I may give you a prediction ahead of the game. I'm going to go to Paseo, get one of those great Caribbean sandwiches up there in Seattle. It's going to be awesome. Oh, breakfast was good this morning. Got to share that as well. That's on the phone here. Let's open it up. Yesterday, I was also at Tunnel Tops Park yesterday, which was really cool. I got to share a couple things to my computer. Put this up on the screen. But to answer your question, timing is flexible. I'm putting this roster up on the screen really quickly for you guys as I find and edit a couple videos to give you guys the food recommendations you deserve. So the food this morning was a very, very quality bagel sandwich from Noe Bagel. And they're on 24th Street, right up in Noe Valley, but kind of near, I think, 24th, I want to say Church or 24th, and Sanchez. And I got the video. I just didn't prepare it before the show, which is why I'm doing so right now for you. All right. It's on its way. We're going to have both of those up very, very shortly. So first off, there is here it is. Welcome to Noe Bagel in San Francisco. That was the breakfast sandwich today. My first time there, and I was really happy with it. Bacon, egg, cheese, as you know, we always add avocado. So that was very good. And second off, we got to show you where I was yesterday. And this is going to be featured in some more videos as time goes by. But that's Tunnel Tops Park. It's relatively new. Awesome, awesome spot. Now, this was on a Tuesday morning. Weather wasn't quite as good this morning, but I think the sun is back out in the city, so we're going to have to head outside before we head to Seattle, where it always seems to be dreary. It's going to be cooler in Seattle, that's for sure. Isn't that something, though? Right in our backyard here. Pan over to Alcatraz. Now, the bet is still on. It's not a, well, I guess we could call it a bet. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl this year, I've got to swim from Alcatraz. I said without a wetsuit. I'm regretting that part of it. But I mean, right now the 49ers aren't living up to the challenge, so it's okay. We got to do that, and we got to live stream it. Maybe on the day of the parade. But the 49ers are 2-3 right now, and they've got a lot of turning around to do. That's why looking at past seasons is what can give them some strength at this point of the year. It is this game against the Seattle Seahawks that I think can really set a tone and right the ship. I said that the tone for this 2024 season would be set by this two-game stretch against Arizona and against the Seattle Seahawks. Well, bad start against Arizona, that's for sure. Tomorrow night against Seattle, the 49ers have a chance to take first place in NFC West. They can literally get back up to the top of things. It's a high upside, high downside situation, though, because even though you could be in first place in NFC West by the time the day finishes up tomorrow, you can also be at 2-4 with an 0-3 record against the division and 0-4 against the NFC, which would be really bad for the 49ers. All right, everybody, sign up for the Standard. Check out that link for the email. You saw how easy it was. I put it up on the screen. I'm off to the gym. Got to get my pregame lift in. We'll talk to you guys very soon.